Our message this morning is entitled A Brand New Life. If I didn't believe in brand new life, I wouldn't preach the gospel, I wouldn't be a minister. I don't believe in living the old life if you've got a brand new life. I don't believe any of the junk from the old life belongs in the new life. And I believe when it says the just shall live by faith, we're supposed to live on purpose lives, because he said it. When Jesus said to Peter in that funny stormy day when they were on the boat and he was in the water, come. I wonder if anyone here really believes Peter felt like at that point in time that something happened to him so he knew he could walk on water. I don't believe it. That was still water, his feet were still feet. He did something I have a lot of folks make the mistake of not doing. I don't believe he jumped overboard looking at the water. He'd have gone straight through that stuff, like an anchor. He jumped overboard looking at Christ, never taking his eyes off him for a second. Because when he took his eyes off him and looked at the water, it was all over with. Why am I saying that? I believe in a brand new life. And you can have a brand new life and live your old life. Old aches, old pains, old problems, old torments, old difficulties. A brand new life. Jesus was not sent by his Father to repair the old world, but to start a brand new one. We forget far too often that sin had marred too much and set great evil in motion. You don't want to ever forget that. Things were set in motion that could not be reversed. This world was irreparable, and so was man. You want to be careful to remember that sin sets things in motion, and you might lose control, and the day you do, the Bible says if you're overcome by it, how bad that is. His triumph in death, burial, and resurrection overcame the old world order that set and controlled. John 16:33, Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And I rather like the way he said that because he hadn't done it yet. He hadn't done it yet. But he said it. Maybe it's about time some of you said a few things you haven't done yet instead of saying all the things you're in. He had not overcome the world. He was possibly years away from the cross. But he said, I've overcome the world. I wonder what you've overcome that has yet to come to pass, and you're still walking in the old, waiting for the new to happen. That's not God. God doesn't do it that way. We saw last week, the Bible says God called those things which be not as though they were, which means he calls nothing to be something while it's still nothing, not when he sees the something. Yes. Paul said, if you do it the other way around, there's no faith. What are you then hoping for? There's an optimism, there's what I call a grand optimism that believers live by that you can't fake. True. You have to have encountered God, the grace of Almighty God, the power of Almighty God, and know the promises. God does that for you. And when he knocked the old world order out and established a new world order by the Spirit of God, he earned the right to be seated at his Father's right hand on a throne of grace over all, so that he might establish a new spiritual world order that would be eventually centered around God in new heavens and on a new earth filled with his love. You can't forget ever. That's why you get saved. You don't get saved to be forgiven, although you definitely get saved to be forgiven, and there's no other way to be forgiven. You get saved because God wants company on a new heaven and new earth, and right now he's got bush and stones on it. That's the whole story, isn't it? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll start in verse 11. Now, verse 10, he tells you how the whole place is going to get wiped out. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. We talk about a giddy end coming to this place we call home. Nevertheless, he said, in spite of how that is the destiny of this planet and those who reject Christ, Verse 13, nevertheless, say that with me, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, see, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, I'm not finished there yet, but isn't it interesting? There are many neverthelesses in our lives on the way to this happy day. Many neverthelesses, but I would know what you're looking at. He said, nevertheless, I could be consumed by the world's coming to an end, as are many. It's going to burn up, freeze up, dry up, blow up, but they've all got a story. And you can be consumed by that and become a crazy man. But he said, nevertheless, we look way past all of that to a new heaven and an earth. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, notice what he says, looking forward to these things. Not looking back, not looking around. 2 Peter 3:14, looking forward. We're forward-looking people to these things. What things? Things that haven't even happened yet. Yeah. If you think about it, the world hasn't burned up yet. There is no new heaven and new earth yet, but we're looking forward, as is towards those things. Right. And because of it, we're diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. And he says, as also in all his epistles, so he wrote many, didn't he? Speaking of them in these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction instead of waiting on God and proper teachers in their life. I put that in there. As they do also the rest of the scriptures. They stumble through the whole blooming thing with opinion on everything. And they're wrong every time. Verse 17, but you therefore, beloved, since you know these things, beware beforehand. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace of our, and knowledge of Jesus. Be steadfast. Now, I wanted us to read that because we get saved so we can join Christ on a new heaven, a new heavens on a new earth, and have like bodies, so we can relate personally, direct. Today we worship God by faith. Yeah. Because we can't see him then. In the new heavens, in the new earth, we'll see him by sight, and we won't have to worship him by faith anymore. But we look forward to these things and therefore conduct ourselves in a certain way. That's why we sang in the 60s, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. It's a fact. It's not. I'm not acclimatized to any of it. But I have overcoming victory power. I have overcoming victory power. The old has given place to the new because of Jesus. And eternity's promises are now made available to us in part. And we love this part. Imagine what the whole is going to be like. The Holy Scriptures use a variety of terms to describe this, such as old creation versus new creation, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light, sinners, saints, etc., etc. But it's all talking about this contrast and who we've become and where we're headed. In heaven today, Jesus is waiting for his Father to subjugate all of his enemies under his feet. That is to say, Satan's last strongholds on earth bringing about death. And that's what Satan has. He has got landmines everywhere to kill people. Yes. And that will one day be done away with because no one's going to die anymore.
Thank you.
And for no one to die, all the stuff that causes death will be gone. That's what he is Lord over, expecting that to be put under his feet. And could I just throw this out for you and apologize for how many of the brethren have so misrepresented this in their books and teachings. You've got to get the mindset of the new heaven and the new earth and rise above in your forward-looking approach to life, the stuff that goes on all around you. I mean, your leg may be in the sawmill going down the conveyor belt. Grab a tourniquet and rise above it. This is not what we're about. This cannot detract from you. And I want to submit as we get into the message, there cannot be, nor ever has been, nor ever will be anything that can possibly happen to you that hasn't been foreseen, prepared for, and graced, lined up to give to you so that you can rise above it as a testimony of grace to help someone in need. It fascinated me from these Corinthian scriptures where we're looking a little bit, that the bottom line, all that Paul said there was, look, everything you ever go through so you can help someone who's going to go through it. Yeah. Was the devil trying to tell me it was because of me? My Bible tells me it's because of you. I'm going to give you not one scripture, a whole portion of them. Yeah. So you can say, oh, woe is me. Oh, my God, what's happened to me? I'm so abused. I'm so taken advantage of. I'm so misunderstood. I'm hurt. You've just rendered yourself incapable of being a blessing. You need to understand, not one thing happened to you from the day that little tadpole found its home to this day. That wasn't so you could be a blessing to someone else. Look. Do you think the Bible says there's no temptation that isn't common to man? And God is faithful. Well, he'll get you out of this thing. Just follow him. Do you think he said that to torment you? No. You could preach that as a torment. He's just saying, get over this stuff, man.
That's true. Amen. Yep.
Get over it. You said you wanted to be a blessing, and now I'm trying to make you a blessing, but you thought that meant a new car, a new house, and a new job. That's not a blessing. That's a new house, a new car, and a new job. For you to be a blessing, you sorry, selfish human being. Yeah. That's true. I'm going to put you through some shishy. So that having seen, I'll take care of you, you can tell the next guy you see in that much. No, God will take care of you. It's all right. You see, this is the day of salvation. You aren't supposed to be living in loss.
No, we're not.
It's the day to get everything you can find saved.
Amen.
Down to that sorry pot plant I have out there that keeps on getting disease. And I spread disease. I'm going to spray that sucker till my right hand freezes. Now, I'm being silly, I know, but this is the day of salvation, folks.
Amen.
And you'd better not wake up for, oh, God. If only you meant that. Today is Christ the new man, the cross the new rule,
Amen.
The church the new temple. That's changed everything. My worldview, my life view, my view of you and everything around me has changed. I filter it through that.
Yes.
If I don't, I'm a liar.
Yeah. That's true.
You've either been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, or you haven't. But I don't remember anything dark disappearing, anything light showing up when I was saved. So obviously it's in the spirit world. Now, do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen.
And if you're in a different kingdom, guess what? You'll have to use new eyes.
That's true. Amen.
I like the details brought out in John 14:6. You know John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father, but by me way, truth, life. But I said this, thus God has fulfilled the words of Jesus in John 14:6. This dispensation of the grace is the way, founded on new covenant truth, giving all believers a brand new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the bottom line. And that gets me to my subject this morning. Number one, we have a new story to tell. You see, we're saints 62 times in the New Testament. We are saints standing in grace. Romans 5:1-2. Justified. Standing in peace. His love for us is our new modus operandi. And we have a new story to tell. My narrative changed the moment I got saved, even when I didn't know one scripture and I wasn't sure your Bible was any good to me whatsoever. I didn't even read the thing. No one told me to. Why should I? What's a complicated thing in Old King James? And I was an Old King James Englishman, but it didn't help. Our narrative has changed. It's no longer about us abandoned on this planet to the devil's wiles.
Amen.
Right. Under the circumstances. Yes. It's about reigning in life as disciples of the triumphant Jesus. And I'm going to tell you here now, if you're living under the circumstances, don't you dare blame God.
Exactly.
He died to get above those babies.
Yes. Yes.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Well, I tried. That's the problem with you. You're not standing in grace, living by love, enjoying the peace of Almighty God. You're doing it. Give up and get ahead. Now, that's a good one. Put that bumper sticker in your car, it'll confuse people. Getting saved has made us a part of something brand new and it's very big, and it'll last forever. We have learned that having made Jesus our Lord is a two-sided affair. You've got to understand this. You see, we have submitted to a new authority, Jesus, but that new authority is committed to take care of us to the end. That's very big. You see, we've submitted to a new Lord, but I got news for you. That new Lord now is committed to taking care of you till you stand before him perfect. And this is worth looking at, and I know we want to look at this. Turn to Jude. That's just before Revelation. That's Jude 24. And that's not the chapter. It's only got one. They don't even number the thing because they know it's just one. Jude 24. And now the grandest benediction in the New Testament. So huge for needy people. Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able. Thank God we found someone who's able. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and dominion, or glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I want you to know something. He's committed to you. You're under his lordship, and they like to preach that one side all day long. There are two sides to that. You've made him your Lord. Now he's committed to take care of you and keep you from stumbling.
What a thing. Thank God.
Yeah. You can't. You don't say, well, Lord, I believe I'm going to make it. You won't. I'm believing in the one who said he's committed to keeping me from stumbling. Thank God. Now we're talking grace words again, aren't we? This is grace language. All right, having said that, I want to give us, I wrote this down before I do, it's beautiful. Our Lord has become our brother, friend, our keeper, and our narrative has changed. Folks, I think you know what would help your life a whole lot if you had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, that would help. That's right.
It would help. Get out of religion and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll change everything for you. Now we can truly go to 2 Corinthians. It was a premature back earlier on. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to give you some quick pointers on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm going to say what I want to say first, then we'll read verse 3. God is kind to all who call upon him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. By the way, he can't comfort you till he's had mercy on you. And he won't comfort you till you ask for mercy. Isn't that interesting? Mercy comes first. Some folks want God to comfort them in their sin and don't know what God's problem is. God is not like your unreliable emotional friends. He is not going to comfort you when you should be told the truth. He said, I want to just bless God, who's the Father of all mercy. Just say, there isn't anything you can get into or get out of or get over or get under. He can't have mercy on you. I need mercy. The Bible says God loves those who hope in his mercy. His mercies endure forever. God is kind to all who call upon him. That's why I put it that way. God, I need mercy. I need some comfort in here. Forgive me. I really blew it. And I'm talking here, as you know, about changing the narrative, the story we tell. And I think it's time for some of us to sit and say, my God, I've had the wrong story going here. I've been sitting around the fire every night, and it was wrong. Talking rubbish. Talking like a lost man. Well, I know you're saved, but you know, do you know that lost people can talk? I mean, saved people can talk like lost people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you've got to convert your mouth.
Yeah.
God is kind to all who call upon him. Verse 4. Our problems now serve a higher purpose. This is so rich, I'm thinking of selling you, taking up a special offering. Our problems now serve a higher purpose. If you believe that, you'd be prostrate on this cold, hard slab floor. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Number one, God is kind to all who call upon him. So we call him mercy and he's kind to us. Number two, our problems now serve a higher purpose. I've got to stop there. My darling people, will you believe that with me today?
Yes,
you've never been through one thing, no matter who did right to you or wrong to you, who failed you, who let you down, how expensive it was, how horrible it was. Nothing.
Amen.
That didn't have a higher purpose.
Amen.
And if you'd spent as much time giving glory to God and learning for that thing you're going through, you'd be the biggest help around here. It's about time our story changed because we realized our problems now serve a higher purpose. And as long as the devil had me believing my problem was my problem, I'm going to deal with my problem, I was S-T-U-C-K. And the concrete was hardening around my feet. And I developed another narrative. And the narrative was all about my weaknesses of my flesh, my failures of my problems. And when that's the case, God can't help you. Was you know what? Was you made him out to be a jerk, as if God would put that shishi on you.
Right.
He who spared not his own son, will he not deliver us also? Mm-hmm. Would God who died to stop the devil's nonsense have done to you the way you're acting and your story coming out of your mouth? Mm. You need to say, my God, I've been very insulting to you. I've been through some stuff and really hurt by it because I took it all the wrong way. And you can retool your personality. You can change the look on your face forever. You can warp yourself because you didn't realize it was so you could be a blessing. Well, I never thought it was a blessing. I didn't say it was.
Right.
It's not a blessing. It's an opportunity. You said, God, I love you. You said, God, I want to live for you. You said, God, use me. And some of you even went so far as to say, Lord, whatever it takes. And God said, hey, you know what you just said. I'm the God who takes you at your word.
Right.
Angels, here's what I've got planned for the next 25 years. He wants to help. Lord, I want to help those who really are in need. You are about to face some really horrible situations so that you can have some really good answers for the really troubled people.
Amen.
You don't think he could just whisper in your ear, if before you suffered and went through trouble, he whispered it in your ear, you'd have laughed and been ruthless. It was only when you faced the bullet between the eyes and sat down and said, my God, I'm a dead man. That God said, she's catching on now. By the time they've gotten over this pity party and seen, I meant it as a lesson, that means there's a rosy gilded end.
Yes.
They're going to be able to help some folks.
Amen.
I refuse to share my problems with someone who has never had any.
Yeah.
I don't need, do you need book knowledge answers?
I
don't like book knowledge answers. I like someone who's been there and says, I understand. As they say, I feel you.
Amen.
Yeah, I feel you. Oh, man. Could I read verse 4 again? Who comforts us in all our tribulation so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Number one, God is kind to all who call upon him. And number two, our problems now serve a higher purpose. Are you a believer?
Yes.
Will you embrace that and change your story?
Yes.
We have a different story, folks, a different narrative, man. We're supposed to enter into this thing boldly with a sweet spirit. So I tell you, I know it looks bad. I know I do it. I made some bad mistakes here, but I got news for you. God is going to give me some experiences here. Love and goodness and grace and mercy is going to come out of this sucker. And I'm going to have a few things to say when God wants me to say it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
There you go.
You show me a compassionate person and I'll show you someone who's been there, done that, and my God found their way out.
That's right.
It says of Jesus, he was tempted in all points like as we are. So he faced the lion. Verse 5. My version of verse 5. Through it all, God has a comforting word for every situation. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. No matter what, he's got a comforting word there, my friend. Consolation abounds when sufferings abound. He expects you to find that consolation and not make a commitment, get on your knees like I did in that ship back in 1967, fall on your face, say, my God, I don't know what I'm going to go through, but I'm going to tell you here now, I'm going to find God answers. Yes. I won't accept anything but God answers, and I'm not going to forget the answers you gave me, because they're valuable, they cost me life.
Yeah, that's true.
Number D, which we'll find in verse 6, but I'll read you mine. Your response to problems, weaknesses, failures is paramount. Verse 6 said, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Every response to problems, to weaknesses, to failures is paramount, because there lies the lesson of God to become a bigger, better, more beautiful, Christ-like person.
Amen.
Jesus could say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Can they say that about you? That's the bottom line. Verse 7, my version, God will make it all up to you. Verse 7, and our hope for you is steadfast. You know, I believe it, I'm steadfast, and I'm not changing. Because we know, strong words, there's as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. There's hope, you can know it, and be steadfast in it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but everything became silly in my life, huh?
Yeah, that's
true.
Hallelujah.
All right, now verses 8 through 9, but we're not going to do that until I read mine. Don't make the mistake of trying to save yourself and become your savior, or anybody else's for that matter.
That's right.
Verses 8 through 9, for we do not want you to be ignorant, now you're not kidding, brethren, of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, listen to this. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? Next verse, next last sentence. Half the sentence. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. Man, he said, I had the sentence of death in me. It was so bad. What did I do? Why? So you can learn to trust in God and not the solution you came up with.
Yeah.
No other reason.
Right.
Keep trusting in yourself and it'll kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I can remember and comfort you. And I don't want you to fixate on this. Uh-huh. I want you to fixate on the resurrected Christ. Yeah. I want you to change your narrative.
Yeah.
He said, we had the sentence of death in us. Have you ever experienced the sentence of death? That can be literal or spiritual or emotional or physical. He said, I'll tell you why I had the sentence of death in me, so that I'd turn to God and find him to be my solution. Now, when you have the sentence of death in you, to whom do you turn? To whom do you turn? Well, that's why I said at this point, don't make the mistake of trying to save yourself. I'm going to read those two verses again, because they're big. Now, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I think that's so beautiful. Too many ignorant Christians around here. Of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so we despaired even of life. See, he was confessing this terrible experience, and it's okay if you confess yours. Yes, he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. He said, you're supposed to get to the place where you say, my God, if this thing kills me, I'm still rising up, because I'm not finished yet.
That's right.
Praise God.
Praise to God is right.
All right, I got to rush. We're going to do verse 10 now, my version. Your deliverance is always guaranteed. But there's a reason for it. It's not the reason you thought. It's not those you blamed. There's a reason God allowed it, because he wants to make you a magnificent servant of God, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. In other words, we got a deliverance lifestyle here, baby.
Yeah.
Some of you are coming out of it. Some of you are going into it. Some of you are stuck in the middle of it, but it's all deliverance. It's coming.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of what he said of creation in Romans 8. He says they're subjected to them to death in hope. My friend, I know it's big, I know it's rough, and I know it's got there days when you are worn out and wiped out. And I'm very sorry. I have felt that myself. But the good news is, we now know that God is just teaching us not to trust in ourselves. Have you ever come and said, "My God, I can't do this. I'm stuck in this. It's stupid, it's filthy, it's crazy," whatever you want to say, I don't care. I can't do it, and I need you to put the will and the power in me. I'm trusting in you for this.
Hallelujah.
And then say, "I believe you deliver me."
Amen.
I believe my whole lifestyle is a story of deliverance.
Amen.
Don't you love this?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not finished yet. Verse 11. Prayer helps the process. So like Greece, you're also helping together in prayer for us. And someone needs to do some thanking around here.
Yeah.
He said, change your wisdom. Here is our story change, verses 12 through 14. Our next one, our new wisdom is grace-based for our boasting. See, he just talked about having the sense of death in him, and now he's boasting about it when he was in it.
Yeah.
And while he was in it. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience. Oh, praise God. That we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you. Your new wisdom needs to be grace-based, and grace-based gives you the advantage. Don't you love that?
Yes.
It gives you the advantage. But I'm not finished. We're going to end with this. Verse 15a, we live confident lives. Look at this, verse 15a. And in this confidence, I intend to come to you. Oh, my word. Praise God in this car. Buddy, next time you hear from me or see me, you're going to see the confidence come out of me.
Amen.
Amen.
It's in the confidence of these things I'm coming to you. I've got a few things to say. Is that Mac? Magnificent.
Yes.
It's magnificent. It's glorious. It's outrageous.
Hallelujah.
It's brand new, folks.
Amen.
It is. Our boasting is this. And in this confidence, I intend to come to you. I believe God wants you to make a decision this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I know you make them all the time, and I'm proud of you for it. I think you need to change your confidence and change your story with your confidence.
Yes.
And ask God to have mercy on your shishi.
Yes.
And how you've taken this and it's turned you into a victim. We've all been turned into victims of time, and thank God for someone to blame. Well, you don't have to, because God allowed it to teach you so you could be a better servant of his.
Yes. Yeah.
That's in your marriages, that's in your business, that's in your home, that's everywhere you go.
Yes.
Stop trying to defend yourself and justify yourself. It's ridiculous. You don't have to. They may not believe it and they may not understand it, but I've got news for you. God is expecting you to call upon his name and say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That covers every kind of saved. Say, my God, I'll tell you here and now, I'm changing my story, and I'm through trying to solve, resolve, and blame, and get ahead. I'm doing none of this. You're trying to make me the kind of guy I asked you to make me. Praise. Yeah. So, Lord Jesus, give me the solution so we can try something else, but I'm sick of this. I had enough of this. Let's move on. Catch on and you'll move on. Because I'm your servant. My wisdom is based on grace. Don't you do love this?
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Can you say I receive it?
I receive
amen.
It.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.